Luke chapter 17, and we'll start reading in verse number 26. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Well, what do we have here? A dire warning. A warning against normalcy bias, as it's sometimes called today. Thinking that everything that we see going on around us has always been that way and shall always continue the same way that it is today. But we see two places in human history here that the Lord reminds us of, and that, of course, was the flood and also the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And out of this, I thought it would be a good idea to take a look at Lot's P&L statement for his life. Because these are the days when people sit around staring at a computer screen all day watching Bitcoin go up and go down, and their whole lives revolve around getting everything that they can and canning everything that they get. That's the craze of today. And even though we weren't here, but our country went through very much the same thing in 1929, where everybody began to play the stock market. And all they did was use the telephone to trade the latest ticker tape information one with another, making their investments and considering nothing else. Well, I thought we might want to apply that same sort of thinking to Lot, his profit and loss statement. Now, when you look at Lot, it appears that in his life he made a number of choices, and those choices, from a worldly point of view, look like they were right. They look like they were common sense. And from the world's point of view, they were. But from God's point of view, they led him into Sodom. And I thought it might be a good idea to look, because they are saying that elections have consequences today. Far greater than that, our personal decisions have consequences as well. And there are consequences that reach directly into our own lives in ways that elections couldn't. And so, here we have Lot. How did he end up down in Sodom? Well, it wasn't an accident. Let's look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. It wasn't an accident. Luke 14 and verse number 25. Here's those following the Lord. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of the view that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Now, this is one of those hard sayings that the Jews really didn't want to hear, but you know, it's not just confined to the Jews here. The world doesn't want to hear this. What on earth could the Lord Jesus be talking about? He's saying that he should be loved above all things, even to the exclusion of things that we would ordinarily hold dear. And we know that the Lord's not speaking in a literal sense here as humans would receive it, because he said to honor our father and mother. He told us that if we honor our father and mother, our days would be long upon the earth. So since the scripture doesn't conflict with itself, then what are we to make of what he said here? He is just simply saying that we ought to count the cost. A saying that I think most of us have heard is look before you leap. Consider what it is that you're doing and think past that decision as to what the results could lead to. In modern parlance, that's called second-order thinking. You know, we have to think, well, I want a cookie, that's first order. But if we don't stop to think that if I have a cookie, I'm going to gain some more weight, and then I'm probably going to keel over because of excessive weight. That's second-order thinking. And we have third-order thinking and so on and so forth. But people don't engage in that. They only look at the immediate thing that's right in front of their noses, and they seize on to that. And that's exactly what Lot does. And because he does that, we're going to see that he had some gains and losses on his balance sheet. Well, what did he gain? Let's look at that first. We'll take the good news first. It's not good news, but Lot sure thought it was. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We'll just start in verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, and silver, and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, and unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And so we find here that Lot had considerable wealth. But the only thing on his mind is how he might increase it. He was thinking only of increasing his flocks, increasing his herds, increasing his wealth and holdings. And so he looks at that which appeals to his eyes. Here's this well-watered plain out there. And by the way, this well-watered plain that he's looking at here has quite a history behind it. It's sometimes called the Land of Shinar. And so we know that a lot of historic things happened in that particular area. And in that area was the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, it could not have escaped Lot, the history of those cities. He heads toward them because the only thing he sees in his first order thinking is, wow, this place will really support getting more and more wealth. Probably didn't even think about Sodom at the time. But nonetheless, he takes that first step in his first order thinking, and because he doesn't engage in second order thinking, he blindly goes ahead. But he's getting great wealth. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. See what Paul has to say about that issue. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. And we'll start reading in verse number 6. Paul now counseling young Timothy. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, that while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, Timothy, this is a thing that you really want to beware of. If we have food and raiment, let us be content. As Paul said in another place, that he was content whatever state that he was in. He just took that as a blessing from the Lord, and that was sufficient for him. Now, I think you should notice here that Paul isn't telling young Timothy that money is the root of all evil. He's telling them that the love of money is the root of all evil. And that brings us right back to Lot. In his first order thinking, his primary goal was to gain and gain and gain in wealth. But he didn't stop to think that there could be a hidden sting. He didn't stop to think that, Sodom is out there, and they are raising up a reek to high heaven, and it just may be that the God that I believe in might deal with them, and I don't want to be standing too close to them when it happens. You never want to be standing right next to the guy that's struck by lightning. It could have a very bad end for you. But Lot doesn't think of that. He's only thinking about how can I get what I want. Did Lot gain anything else? Yes. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 1. You know, it's always so far so good. And it always is in cases like this. When we fail to consider the ramifications of our decisions, it can look really good in the beginning. It looks like everything is going just great. And then all at once, it isn't. Genesis chapter 19, then, in verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the earth. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we'll abide in the street all night. That should have sent a big hint to munificent Lot. But notice that Lot recognized that these were angels, that they were messengers from the living God, and he truly did want them to come into his house. He truly did want them to lodge there, but they said, no, we'll stay out in the street all night. Now, the street would be a very dangerous place in the city of Sodom. But the angels decided that Lot's house wasn't even fit to domicile in for the evening, and that should have sent Lot quite a message. But what else do we learn here on his P&L statement? He had great favor with the world. At the time, the point in history that we're reading this story, Sodom and Gomorrah were some of the greatest cities on the face of the earth. And we find now that Lot hasn't pitched his tent towards Sodom, but he's actually living in the city of Sodom. And not only that, he's risen to be a great one. To sit in the gate, he's one of the elders of the city. He's running the place. Boy, that looks good. His first order thinking again. You know, it's kind of fun to get riches and cattle and herds, but power is even more fun than that. Here he is, sitting in the gate of the city as an elder. Great power. He has the acclaim of the world. Everything looks like it's going just great. Well, I think now maybe is the time that we ought to look at the loss on his balance sheet. Just when he thought it was all good and great guns, all at once, the worm turns. What did he lose? Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 12. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Whoa! What do you suppose Lot is thinking?
No.
No! That can't be right. You can't destroy this place. I'm totally invested in this place. I have huge flocks and herds and gold and silver. And not only that, I'm a chamberlain of the city. I'm running this place. You can't destroy this. It's mine. It's mine. It's all mine. That's what he's thinking. His first order thinking here can't deal with this. Wow. Well, what's going to happen next? Verse number 13. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And don't you suppose that Lot knows this? He knows who God is. He's been with his uncle Abram in the worship of the Lord. He knows who God is, and he knows that God hates sin, but we can't let a little thing like that, some little trifle like that, get in the way of making money and getting power. Verse 14, And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Well, here's the first loss on his balance sheet. He lost his children. This is what first order thinking does. All he could see was his wealth and his power, but he never stopped to think that he has things that are more valuable than that. Money and power can be replaced, but children cannot be replaced. And because of his first order thinking here and wanting to get all he can and can all he gets, when he goes to his sons-in-laws, they think the old man is flipped out. What's wrong with him? We've bought into everything that he showed us all of our lives. We've watched him and wanted to be like him, and now he's saying we got to get out of here because the Lord is going to destroy this place. Are you mocking us? Are you teasing? What else did he lose? Let's just proceed down to verse number 23, shall we? The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. If you were paying attention, the name of that city came up a little bit earlier in another scripture that we read. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Well, there's the next thing on his loss statement. He not only lost his children, but now he's lost his wife. And not only did he lose his wife, as we just read, he lost all of his property. Everything that he'd hoarded and saved up, it's gone. And you know, it's really not a great thing to be the king of an ash heap. All of his dreams of power has evaporated right before his eyes. The thing that he regarded the most has been taken away from him. What else did he lose? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and see if we can figure that part out. Second Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 6. For I am now ready, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, this righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You see, Paul has a P&L statement too. But he didn't get into the short-sighted first-order thinking that Lot did. Paul looked far beyond all of the persecution and animus of the world towards him. He looked past that to see something that lay past that. And he tells young Timothy, this is what is really important. So, in a sense, the Lord came to Lot down in Sodom. Did he get a crown of righteousness? No. Nope, he lost whatever reward he might have had. And you know, if it wasn't an obscure verse in the New Testament, we'd never even know that Lot was saved. But what's said about Lot isn't really pleasant. It's like at the Bema Seat of Christ, there's gold, silver, and precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. and the person that gets less than stubble, he shall be saved himself, yet so as by fire. And so to close, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2.
Where does it talk about Lot? Where is that verse?
It's in Hebrews.
Isn't it in the book, in the Hall of Faith? You know, Abraham and all of the ones that faith Lot's mentioned.
Okay.
2 Peter and chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example that after should live ungodly, and not to take the sails out of what's been said. But there is verse number 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Well, it looks like Lot triumphs in the end, but it's a shallow victory. It's almost a Pyrrhic victory. But look what's said here. You see, Lot actually knew better. He knew he didn't belong there. Look what's said in verse number 7. And delivered just Lot? Not just Lot, but Lot the just. That's kind of a shocker. We've been looking at his P&L statement here for the last half an hour. It looks like this guy's a real loser. But look what's being said here. He delivered just Lot. What made Lot just?
He still believed.
He believed in God. Absolutely. Here's a case of where a lot of Christians find themselves. They know the Lord, they're born again, but they've chosen to walk in the flesh. First order thinking. It's the same thing. Will they be saved? Yes, yet so as by fire, just like Lot. But we don't want to make Lot's P&L statement our P&L statement, do we? Verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Notice they didn't vex his righteous soul. He himself vexed his righteous soul. And he's held responsible for it. He knew he didn't belong there. Just like a Christian knows that he'd ought to walk in the way, and when he doesn't, he understands that he's not walking in the way. And there's a reward for that. Or in this case, a lack of reward. Lot didn't count the cost. He built a tower that didn't count. And it's interesting that all of these things, if you're noticing, happen in a certain geographical area that's very rich in history, worthy of a study. Let's pray. Our dear Lord,